Robinson drops back, throws an arcing pass upfield. Reggie Tom Fields gathers it in on the dead run and races all the way to score from Los Angeles. A 72-yard touchdown play.
First down inside his own five from his own end zone. Sacked and a safety on Rudolph. Aaron Donald and Clay Matthews got to him.
Inspired by the presence of Captain Jack Youngblood, playing in pain with his broken leg. A savage Ram defense.
They hand it to Steven. Great jump cut. 45.
Sends a whole burst through at 20.
Right step to tackle. Runs left. 25 still on his feet. 46-yard goal by number 39.
Running back, number 29, Eric Dickerson.
Johnny Hecker, a high school quarterback, is going to throw. The fake is on it. He's got a first down to Stephen Bailey.
Mike Jones made the tackle, and the Rams have won the Super Bowl. Super Bowl.
Rams Talk Radio with Derek C. Apollo and Michael Stewart.
Welcome to Rams Talk Radio, draft night number two, which is basically our draft night number one for Rams fans. And I got the crew with us, the old school crew, the guys who have been here from the very beginning. Norm Hightower, the man, the myth, the legend. Johnny Gomez, and Steve Ribeiro, who we can't believe is actually older than 25 years old. Guys, how's it doing?
Ain't right, man. keep age-shaming me, okay? It's fine. I'm not going to do it to you guys, all right?
I'd rather be your age than mine.
True, true. We're age-shaming you, right? But we'd rather be there than here. When you hit 30, when you go beyond 30, that mentality is going downhill in a hurry.
Norm, can you tell me about the New Deal, man? Did FDR do a good job as somebody who lived through it, really getting America back on track during the Depression?
I'll be double nickels this year, guys. I'm not that old.
You know what's messed up? Him asking you that question. I'm the history teacher here. You didn't ask me that. What the crap? I just want to point that out.
Well, you weren't there during the New Deal. You were there... Maybe the Truman administration, right?
No, a little further than that, but, you know, a little further than that.
I'm kidding.
Johnny's the quiet one. That's where. Johnny, how you doing?
Well, I feel like I'm kind of in the middle between the youngster and the grumpy old men. So, you know, I'm kind of in a good place, I feel. Not a baby, but not a geezer.
Not a baby, not the a geezer.
The only reason they can do this is because we're not all in the same room.
You know what? To do a podcast with all of us in the same room would be awesome. I mean, Norm, you and I have podcasted in the same room before, and that was a blast. I mean, that made the whole podcast that much better. Imagine all four of us, the original Rams Talk crew, in the room together for a podcast.
Well, it needs to be a big-ass room for me and Johnny to be in there.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a room big enough.
There is. There is. I guarantee you can make it happen. You can make it happen. All right, so the second round's already underway. We made the call because the Rams basically draft sometime, you know, in the millennium, but not right now, to start a little bit later in the second round, so we want to run through some picks with you. And then we also want to go back and look at some of the eventful things that happened once we went off the air last night, which is basically 5 seconds after we went off the air. That's when things really changed. So really quick here, first pick of the second round, Tyson Campbell, quarterback out of Georgia, went to the Jaguars, and the Jaguars have already picked again this round, by the way. The next pick, Elijah Moore from Ole Miss, wide receiver, goes to the Jets. Javonte Williams, North Carolina running back, goes to the Broncos. Javon Holland from Oregon, we'll have to ask Norm about him.
Ducks.
Yep, safety, goes to the Dolphins. A center for the Eagles, Landon Dickerson, goes from Alabama. Alabama defensive tackle Christian Barmore goes to the Patriots. The Bears take Oklahoma State offensive tackle Tevin Jenkins. That's the 7th pick of the round. 8th pick of the round, Richie Grant from UCF safety goes to the Falcons. I'm not even going to try and say this poor man's last name. Maybe, Steve, want to go for it? Levi?
Unwuzurk? Nah, I'm sure that was horrible.
Not even close, but I'm not trying.
We'll just go Levi O. That's probably the best respect we can give. Detroit Lions defensive tackle. He's coming from Washington. That'll be interesting. Nice young second rounder pairing up with Michael Brockers. Liam Eichenberg from Notre Dame goes to Miami at the 42nd pick, offensive tackle. TCU's Trevon Mowry, safety, goes to the Raiders. Kelvin Joseph from Kentucky, cornerback, goes to the Cowboys, and got into a little bit of a debate last night with one of the Rams brothers on their picks. And, I mean, Cowboys got a cornerback here, so I don't know. It kind of makes my point a little bit. And Walker Little, safety from Stanford. Not safety, sorry, offensive tackle from Stanford, goes to the Jaguars. And Jackson Carmen from Clemson, offensive guard, goes to the Bengals. We're now at pick 47 for the Chargers, and the Rams are picking 10 picks away. Of course, picks that are of interest to us are coming up. The 49ers at 48, the Cardinals at 49, and then, of course, the Seahawks at 56. So, guys, what are your thoughts thus far on this draft?
The linemen are starting to fly off the board tonight, which isn't totally ideal for us. Jackson Carmen, a guard, he could help us out. I know Johnny had his eyes on Eichenberg from Notre Dame, and Landon Dickerson obviously would have been nice to fall. But what are you going to do? There's still a lot of guys on the board. Our guy Creed Humphrey, we are praying he doesn't get drafted in the next 10 picks. That would be great. And also, just I want to, before we let you give your Justin Fields takes, Derek, I just want to let you know that Johnny and I showed up to this podcast fully draped in clown makeup as a result of all the time we spent talking about maybe Jamin Davis falling to the Rams. The guy went at like 19. We weren't even in the same continent as him. So I just wanted to apologize for wasting everyone's time with discussing that guy over the past couple of weeks.
It's just, honestly, it's just having such limited inside linebackers available. You know, you kind of hope and pray that Davis would fall. At least I was, anyway. And, not even a chance. Although, it was said that the Washington football team kind of reached for him, but it is a position of need for them, so it makes sense that they went after him, especially when Parsons went off the board with the Cowboys. I think they were really hoping he'd fall to them, but so they went and reached a little bit and grabbed Davis. But, hey, what are you going to do? It's the draft. I mean, you have, you know, teams like the Raiders going after Alex Leatherwood, so there you go.
That was kind of the big shocker. I mean, unless you're someone who follows the Raiders, it's kind of the norm and to throw crazy picks out there. But, I mean, I thought overall it was a pretty boring first round. I mean, kind of carbon, you know, not carbon, but kind of just like, eh. Until the Justin Fields trade. Bears moving to get him. We'll talk about it in the second, but I want to get Norm's thoughts here on that first and now second round thus far. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think it was really boring until the Bears traded up. And, you know, like I said to you earlier before the podcast, it's where quarterbacks go to die, so that might be a good thing for all of us to see a Ohio State Buckeye go there. Happy to see two of my Ducks go within early first and second round. And right now I'm impressed with a couple teams. I think the Dolphins have had a good draft so far. Definitely going to help their squad out. The Jets have done well, and, you know, obviously Jacksonville with their early picks has done a great job. So overall, it's been honestly kind of lackluster because we have to wait until, you know, 57 or 58 when the Rams pick, unless something happens.
Which you never know, by the way. You never know with the Rams.
I mean, with our luck, what's going to happen is they're going to trade back, and then we're going to run out of this podcast, and we won't have any Rams picks.
Yeah, it's a matter of when, not if.
Hey, and you know, that's happened before. Was it 2 years ago? Was it 2 years ago we were doing this?
Yeah.
Or was it last year? Was it last year or 2 years ago?
I was probably it was 2 years. Taylor Rapp here, right? Because they traded so many times in that one.
I mean, it was like 2 years ago, and that was a bananas draft for us. This year, by the way, Rams have they'll pick three times tonight. They have a pick in the second round, two picks in the third round. I mean, that's solid capital for them. They have to hit in these picks, though. I think we all know that. They can't, given what they have in capital, given what they've done with their cap, these players have to hit for them. And that kind of, to me, puts a lot of onus on that front office staff that I wish they didn't have to do. Asante Samuel Jr. goes to the Chargers, by the way. 5'10", 180 pounds, from Forest State, cornerback. Asante Samuel Jr. goes to the Chargers. I hate the Chargers. Anyways, that said, how are you feeling about the Rams tonight? They'll have three picks, second and two threes. Norm?
I have a feeling that they're not going to pick at 57. So I hope they do. And, you know, obviously I hope they go offensive line or linebacker, but they'll probably shock us and go something totally different that we don't expect. So, you know,
that wouldn't be a shock anymore, though.
They're supposed to,
That wouldn't be a shock. They've done it so many times. It's like, okay, yeah, we saw it coming. It's not a shock.
Well, I mean, they could pick a kicker at 57, and it wouldn't surprise me with the way things go sometimes. But, you know, they really need to bolster their offensive line. They really need to bolster their defensive line. They need an inside linebacker. They need cornerback. They need a lot. They're not going to get everything they need in this draft. But hopefully they pick the best player available at a position of need, which is what we usually say, and they usually don't do. So, but, you know, that's what my hopes are. So we'll see if they pick at 57.
Chargers went Asante Samuel Jr. Yep. at 47. Definitely would have been on the Rams' mind if he was there at 57.
Yeah, looking at the inside linebackers that are left, you have, you know, young man from Notre Dame, I'm not going to try, Owusu-Koramoah. You have Nick Bolton, Jabril Cox from LSU. I mean, those are your top three, maybe, inside.
I'll take Cox, man. If Cox is a pick at 57, I'll be fucking ecstatic. I don't think they're going to go inside linebacker, though. I'd honestly be floored. They refuse to address the position.
Yeah, it burned them at the end of the year, too, though. They need that. But, I mean, there's offensive line needs, too. I wouldn't be surprised if they went best player available between the two positions.
I don't think they're going inside linebacker. History tells us that there's, like, almost no chance to go inside linebacker. I hope I'm wrong, because we could use it. But yeah, I think it's going to be more of a best available player approach between probably a handful of positions. I bet corner's in the mix. I bet edge rusher is in the mix. Maybe even defensive line, like Norm said. Obviously, interior offensive lineman. But I feel like inside linebacker might not be in the mix.
Everyone knows that
I want it to be in the mix. I'm just saying, I don't believe they're going to do it.
John, you're quiet. What are your thoughts?
Well, I just think that they're going to trade down. I don't see in any universe at this point that they're going to reach for anybody. And I think that they're going to try and get extra picks at this point, because all of like the top targets for them, the kind of high hopes, are quickly diminishing here. About the only guy I would say worth drafting at this point would be Creed. And I think he's going to be gone before the Rams pick. So if that's the case, then I see them trading down. Pretty much all the guys that I was hoping for have been picked in the last few picks here. I was hoping for the Tyson Campbell, went the very first pick of the second round. You know, the Landon Dickerson, you know, all kinds of guys. And Samuel was the next guy that I was hoping for, and he's gone. So that doesn't necessarily mean that they won't pick anything, but if I know less need, like I think we all know less need, he's going to end up trading down.
Really quick, just to jump in, 49ers take Aaron Banks, guard from Notre Dame. Big guy. Big, beefy guy. We're not going to look to seeing him. 335-pounder. Run blocker. So, yay. That's not what we wanted to see, but okay. But let me ask this question. Steve, you mentioned Jabril Cox. He's still on the board. The other gentleman from Notre Dame is there. The guy from Missouri is there. Would you trade down if those guys were available? Would you take the shot?
I mean, I would like them to take Jabril Cox if he's there. I wouldn't mind them to take Creed Humphrey either if he's there. I think those are two guys that would start from day one, have a clear value, and hopefully become long-term starters on the team. I think it's worth getting those guys there. But I think I probably am in agreement with everyone that they trade back. I definitely don't think they take Jabril Cox there. He'd be a target in the third round, though, for sure, if he's available. But, yeah, I would love Jabril Cox. He can cover, which we desperately need at the position. Even for all the times where our inside linebacker showed flashes, it was rarely in coverage, besides that, like, one Troy Reader play in the playoffs. And it was something that got exposed a lot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Jabril Cox is a guy that you know can go out there and play coverage, and that'd be great to have. It's exactly what we need at that position. And that's what we're missing without Corey Littleton.
Norm, did you find it concerning at all that the Rams seemed to kind of poo-poo the idea of taking a center early in the draft? They implied they're happy with who they got. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I think it's a smokescreen. I don't think they're happy with who they've got. And, I think it's definitely a position of need, but obviously you can't lay all your cards on the table. So, you know, if you're going to say you don't need a center, then maybe it takes you off the radar a little bit. But I mean, it's just a game. I don't see it as something that you can just say you don't need. You definitely need a good center in this league. And I think when we've struggled offensively, a lot of it had to do with the fact that we haven't had a great center for a while.
Well, you mean it wasn't Jared Goff? Silence.
Combination of problems.
Let's not back Jared Goff anymore. He's gone.
I had to do it. You left the opening there, man. I had to do it. It was just there. Cardinals are picking now at the podium. The second round, pick 49. It is come on. Wide receiver Rondale Moore from Purdue.
Okay.
Hey, all right. There's the first Rams fans I've seen in the draft yet.
They didn't get there yesterday. They didn't need to be there.
Yeah, I can tell you how much this thing stuck up on me is it's the drafts in Cleveland. I mean, I could have made it. It completely stuck up on me. I would have loved to have gone. I can't believe it. I'm a bonehead. What can I say? All right, so backing up, going to...
Well, that's kind of obvious, too.
Yeah, just zip it. So, back to yesterday, like the moment we logged off for the night, Bears traded up from pick 20 all the way to pick 11. They take Justin Fields, quarterback from The Ohio State University. And I want to get you guys' thoughts on that. That was the first real curveball of draft, and usually the curveballs come a lot sooner. And this was, I don't think anybody really saw this coming, even though they probably should have. I mean, the Bears were in need of a quarterback. Andy Dalton was never going to be the long-term guy, no matter how much they said it was going to be. So, you know, I'm wondering. I'm going to start with Johnny here. What are your thoughts on Justin Fields at 11 to the Chicago Bears in a trade?
Well, personally, I'm a huge Justin Fields fan. I think he's a talented quarterback. And even though quarterbacks go to die in Chicago, as Norm has said, I think he's going to do well there. I think that this is probably the best move they could have done in the draft. And really, it didn't cost them that much. It really didn't, and they secured their guy. It was the right move for them to make, and I still stand by the fact that I am the second-best quarterback in the draft, and you could probably make an argument as the best quarterback, but Trevor Lawrence has kind of had that locked up for a while. So, Justin Fields, I think, will do great things there. I think he's better situated there than some of the other teams that he could have landed on. It may not be the best situation, but I think he's better off there than, say, somewhere like the New York Jets.
I mean, that's true. I mean, you kind of feel bad for Zach Wilson going to the Jets and basically a full reload and an inept organization from the get-go. At least the Bears have showed some signs of life in the past 10 years. Steve, what are your thoughts?
Hey, now, hey, Jets, first of all, Jets having a great draft, okay? Let's not knock them too hard. They are the Jets. They deserve to be knocked, but the last 2 days, I feel like they've done a great job. And also, like, Zach Wilson just feels like a Jet man. I don't know what it is. That guy just feels like he belongs in the Jets. But in terms of Fields, yeah, I think it's a great move for the Bears. I think you gotta keep trying to dip into that well and find your quarterback. And Fields is a guy who at one point was the favorite to go number two, only behind Trevor Lawrence. And is, you know, this is a draft that had four quarterbacks graded pretty highly by most people, and he was one of them. And you had a chance to go get that guy. You go up and get him. You don't. Like Johnny said, you didn't break the bank. You had to give up a little bit, but it's not going to derail your franchise if that trade-up doesn't work out. As you know, even when they moved up for Trubisky, it really didn't derail the franchise either because they made the playoffs with him. They've been pretty good with him around. But yeah, this is like Andy Dalton might be the answer this year. He's not the answer forever. He's not a guy that's going to get you to the next level, and Fields might be. And it's a good situation for him. I know quarterbacks go to die there, but it's a great fan base. It's a great city. They have talent on offense. Allen Robinson's really, really good. He probably won't be there long, but you know that's a good player to have as a rookie. And you know, I don't mind Dave Montgomery. It's a good situation for him, even though quarterbacks do go to die in Chicago. But hopefully he breaks the curse.
Norm, your thoughts?
Well, I think it was so far the best move at the draft. You know, getting a player that is arguably ranked in the top two or the worst three, being able to take him at that position for what they paid for him, obviously that was, I think, the best move of the draft. It helped not only them, but then it also helped, you know, Belichick and the Patriots with the fact that they could stand pat at 15 and get Mac Jones. So, It was the move of the draft so far. We'll see if they can put an offense in place that fits Justin Fields, and we'll see how it turns out. I don't have high hopes for him there just because it's Chicago, but he may be able to turn that franchise around.
You know, if I am the Bears, I am strongly insistent on this. Andy Dalton starting the season. I would just let this kid sit back and learn. Give him every opportunity to really digest what it means to be in the NFL, to grow into being a quarterback, and don't throw this guy at the wolves. That's not an easy division. The Vikings are talented. They had their issues last year. They're talented. Of course, the Packers won the division last year. Detroit will be better. I think Detroit will be better as a team. Maybe not a quarterback, but I mean, we've already had that discussion. But overall, I think they'll be better. I think in the past, especially younger quarterbacks, we can't forget that Justin Fields doesn't have he's got 2 years of starts there, but that is really less than two full seasons. And he's still a pretty young guy with fantastic tools, a fantastic ceiling. And even he's mature for his age. He's tough. He marks all the check boxes. I mean, you can really do a lot in terms of arguing that he is the best quarterback in the draft. Now, do I think that? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, Trevor Lawrence has great credentials, but I think the best thing you can do for this kid is give him a chance to grow into the position, because you don't have a lot. It's different if he has a bunch of weapons. If he has a bunch of weapons to run into right away to work with, it's a different story. But protect this guy's career while you're getting the weapons together, while you're putting the offensive line together and developing a full offensive system that is right for him, and keep him on the bench as long as you can. Let this kid learn the game. Develop this kid as best you can. Just don't throw him to the wolves. And when you have a habit of doing that now, like especially with these, the way the salary cap works, and you have 5 years, and you kind of need to figure out what you're going to do with these guys. I look at it like, sit them as long as you can, give them a chance to learn. And the Redskins made a huge mistake with another Ohio State quarterback, Haskins, who I think still has a talent to play in the league, but he wasn't mature enough to. So immature quarterback, what do? You throw him out there right away? I mean, bad thing for them to do. And I don't want them. Justin Fields is much more mature than Haskins was, but he's still young. Give him a chance to learn the game.
He's a much better prospect than Haskins.
Well, they're two different quarterbacks. Remember, Haskins was a standing quarterback, and he could make every throw, he could make every decision, but maturity-wise, just wasn't there, and it became pretty clear right away. Fields has, the guy is really mature, really tough, actually. Tougher you would think he would be, but he's pretty tough, and I like his future.
Maturity is a huge difference between him and Haskins, so... Ojulari just went to the Giants.
Dang. The dreams keep ending. But Creed's still there. We got 7 picks to keep Creed on the board.
But you know what the Rams are going to do. They're going to trade down, right? But if that center's there that you need, man. And normally we would be the first people to sit there and hammer the Rams for a pick, right? I can't hammer. They've been right so much more than we really realize. I mean, they make their mistakes, don't get me wrong, but when we look back at the Rams in the last 4 or 5 years, when they've cut a player, it's usually been the right decision. Usually. When they've let a player go.
Yeah, I do agree with that, but I think also, their draft history the last couple of years, they have made some home runs, but they made some mistakes in the draft, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you look back at the 2018 draft, we didn't pick till the third round, but really we got basically nothing out of that draft. The only highlight was Sebastian Joseph Day, and we had a ton of picks in that draft. So I can't say that I trust. I think they made the right decision letting Blythe go because of how cheap his contract is with the Chiefs. Like, if he had left and signed, like, a $5 million deal, like, maybe. But, I mean, come on. The guy, he signed, like, a $1 million deal with another million in incentives. I think we could have swung it. And I feel like they didn't attempt to.
And you look at the Rams draft in 2018. Okorakwo still contributed to the team. Kizer contributed this year.
Barely.
Draft,
Derek. If you look at this draft, the first thing you say is Okoronkwo contributed.
Well, I picked his name out because it's the longest one. I mean, I'm looking at the list right here. I'm just saying, I mean, Trevin Howard's still on the team. Sebastian Day's still there. Demby was a practice squad, but he's horrible. Okoronkwo contributed. Kizer contributed. Myers is in the NFL still. The Jets had a pretty good year. Brian Allen's a backup.
Caught him after like a season.
You know, Noteboom is still a guy they think can be something. It's not that there's still a lot to be determined with that draft class, especially since it's had so many injuries. It's different if Kizer and Okoronkwo and Allen and Noteboom actually all were healthy this whole time. I've all had pretty significant injuries. Heck, Trevin Howard had injuries too, 7th round pick, and he's still on the roster. I think the jury's out in that.
We saw what a healthy Brian Allen looked like, and I'm good. I don't need to see it again.
In fairness, they threw that kid to the wolves, man. They threw him to the straight wolves. In fairness.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, I don't believe Noteboom can contribute. I think he could. I think Okoronkwo can contribute. But, you know, that's a draft where you had a ton of picks, and the only one who's proven that they belong in the league, for sure, is Sebastian Joseph Day. I know Kizer played a lot this year, but I still stand by that statement. He didn't impress me that much. He was okay.
He was okay. I'm not disagreeing with you entirely. I'm more on the lines of I'm probably gonna wait until the end of this season before I make a kind of final analysis on the 2018 draft, honestly, because there's just still, I think, a lot to be said yet.
That's fair. Can I talk about the worst pick in this draft so far?
Absolutely, go for it.
Okay, so this is why bad teams stay bad, okay? Last year, when we took Cam Akers at 52, we had a lot of debate on whether or not it was the right pick, not because he was a bad prospect, but because, you know, you used your third-round pick on running back the year before in Darrell Henderson, you had Malcolm Brown, you had two guys that were good enough, you know, to maybe get the job done there, and for a while this year, they were good enough to get it done, and obviously Cam Akers is the best out of those three. I've come to terms with the pick. I'm happy with Akers. He's a beast. But just imagine if last year we did what Jacksonville did yesterday at 25 and taking Travis Etienne. They had one of the worst offenses in the league last year. The only bright spot was their rookie running back who had 1,400 yards, and they chose a running back with their second pick. They have holes literally everywhere, and they took a running back in the first round. Like, I could not believe it. It was maybe the only position on that team they didn't need to address besides quarterback, because they addressed it at number one. This is why teams like Jacksonville stay in the gutter. And I'm not saying he's going to be a bad player, like I said about Akers last year, but this is amplified times 100 because you have a guy who proved that he could be a workhorse for you on a horrible offense. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't bring in help for him. Like, yeah, you could bring in help for him. But at 25, there's so many good players still on the board. And good running backs, too. And you picked 8 picks later. You could have gotten the guy out of UNC at 33 if you felt you needed to go the running back route, which they didn't at 33 either. But that was just unbelievable to me.
Guys, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I'd have to question that being the worst pick, but it was a pretty bad pick, I'm not going to lie. But you have other guys, other teams on there, like the Raiders, picking guys that probably have been available in the second round. I don't know. And then you could also make an argument with the Broncos, who insist Drew Lock is going to be a franchise quarterback when he hasn't shown a damn thing. So, I don't know. You have Justin Fields sitting there. Heck, you could have even went with Mac Jones. But instead, they're sticking with Drew Lock, a guy that hasn't worked, and selected a cornerback, which they were pretty set on. Yeah.
No, I really thought the Raiders' decision was the worst one, honestly.
Well, the Raiders is the worst decision so far, but, you know, they don't have to worry about Lockett in Denver because they're going to get Aaron Rodgers, so.
Oh, man, you're still thinking that's going to happen, right?
I'm still thinking it's going to happen.
Oh, there you go.
Just got here, who's a Packers fan, and he's flipping me off, but yeah.
Inside linebacker, taken by the Browns, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame. So he's off the board if you wanted him by chance. He's now going to be a Cleveland Brown instead of a Ram, if you want to be a Ram. So there's another one off the board.
Cleveland is having a good year. They made a lot of good decisions this offseason. It's a good pick.
I really think that the Browns are just better. I mean, they are a serious danger next year if they keep growing. That's a really, really good team. They're loaded.
Yep. Agreed.
About time. Good gosh. Only took them 20 years.
It took them a long time.
20?
Only 20 years. To be fair, they were on the verge of building a team that would win a Super Bowl, and the team left and then won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you don't need to remind me of that. I live my poor family here. I actually remember being at school, and we stopped class and turned the TV on to watch the announcement, and people just sat there stunned. I was in class, and they stopped to watch the announcement. I mean, broken hearts galore right there. Those bananas. Bananas. So, all right, so the Rams are, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 picks away? And you guys got a couple preferred picks that are still there. A couple of guys still sitting there. Still sitting there. You're a center? Are you setting that center, man?
I think if they stay at the pick, that's their most likely route. If Creed Humphrey's there, I feel like that's the most likely pick they make. And I think it's a good pick, and I think it would probably be the right pick. I would not mind Jabril Cox, as stated, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Jabril Cox. What do you all think of Nick Bolt? I don't know too much about him, so I'm asking. Nick Bolton's the other inside linebacker.
Or Norm. They're the draft guys.
What did you say?
Nick Bolton.
Nick Bolton.
From Missouri.
That one's tough. To be honest, if it's the idea of selecting him with the second round pick or trading back, I think I'd rather trade back just because I think he's talented for sure, but I just think there are so many needs that they could have, and they could potentially expand what they get if they move back. And depending on if there's a team desperate enough, you might get a decent haul for, you know, a second round or a mid to late second round pick. So, personally, that's what I would do if I was less need. I think I would trade back unless you're going after Creed Humphrey. I wouldn't be disappointed if they ended up with Jabril Cox, but I think that's really someone you'd like to target later. I think at this point it would be kind of a reach, but I mean, clearly inside linebacker is a position of need. So, in my opinion, it's Creed Humphrey or trade back.
I mean, you have the right now. There's the analysis on Nick Bolton from ESPN. By the way, that says that Bolton plays even faster than his time and speed, thanks to his instincts. He gets over the top of blockers, shoots gaps, chases with great effort, has open field tackling, is outstanding. Shows good range and underneath coverage and flashes the ability to find a crease as a pass rusher. That's the scouting from Steve Munch from ESPN. I mean, that description sounds a lot what they need, to be honest with you. It sounds a lot like what they need. But, you know, you're talking about... I don't think Jabril Cox is there later, though. You're talking about waiting until later. I don't think he's there later. I think he'll be gone before that.
Yeah, you probably have to get him with the pick you trade back if you were to get him.
I mean, and how far do you trade back? Honestly.
That's the where it becomes a little bit of a question is what do they get back in return? If they feel like Jabril Cox will be there with the picks that they end up with, I'm all for trading back, still retaining the guy. I think that'd be a home run at that point.
And obviously, what if we're turning totally on where they don't go? Like, this is what they normally do. You know, we see center, linebacker, maybe other offensive line help areas, and maybe they go corner. Heaven forbid they go wide receiver. Would you guys flip your lid?
Yes, but Dwayne Eskridge is still sitting there. Got me a little nervous. That was the guy that they were attached to a little bit. If they were to go receiver, that'd be, you know, a better case scenario because he could return kicks, which is a hole the Rams desperately need, but they do not. They should not go receiver here, especially if they save the pick.
I mean, 5'9", 190, small guy with speed. They only had DeSean Jackson for 1 year. Makes you wonder.
It does, but... and they restructured Woodson Kupp, right? So they're in there for the long haul. Those guys are going to be here. You can't
even say that, though, Steve. You can't say that.
No, you can't. Yeah, you're right, but... Yeah.
Look what they've done the last 2 years.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You're not wrong. It's just, I think if they were to go receiver, you got it. I'd rather them get a big body guy than a small speed demon. I wouldn't mind Estridge in the third if they feel like they need to address that. But you have too much talent in there, and you have too many needs. DeSean Jackson is only here for a year, but you add him to a team that you have Woods and Kupp, who are both very good and reliable players, and you have Van Jefferson, who you just drafted last year, who it seems like they like. So it'd be insane to go for the second straight year another receiver at 57 when that room is already so full. When your inside linebacker room is practically a studio apartment that nobody's living in.
And you know all about the studio apartments, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I had a one bedroom park, but I have lived in those shoeboxes.
In the shoebox. Norm, quiet your thoughts on that.
I've been quiet, yeah. If you wanted to know what a better choice is between largemouth bass and spotted bass, I could let you know, because that's how much I've been into the draft research since I've been on vacation. They got to really like who they want. I really hope they don't take a wide receiver, as you guys were saying. We're getting close enough to see. I just have this gut feeling that they're going to trade back. And I won't be disappointed if they do. But if they are going to take a position in need with this pick, I think they got to go Humphreys at the center position if he's available.
But here's the thing. I think, you know, one thing I've come to realize is covered this team now for a decade is that, you know, we see what the news says, we see what we see with our own eyes, and there's always more to the story. I think when it comes to the Rams, they have a lot more gaps on the roster than we like them to have. And then when you also flip around to, we don't know the dynamics in the locker room, we don't really know how they feel about Van Jefferson, but I think Van Jefferson is the actual key to the Rams' future receiving core. If he becomes what they drafted him to be, then they don't need to worry about receiver this year. If they think he's going to be that guy, but all of a sudden, if they don't think he's that guy, then that receiving core is a lot more vulnerable. And if there's a guy there they want, they can fit that need, like what Steve was talking about, then it wouldn't shock me to see them pull off a shock like going for a skill position instead. Tight end, they lost Gerald Everett, but you know they had a guy they picked up last year in the draft. There are so many variables that even though I'm zoning in on inside linebacker, offensive line, they can go anywhere, and I don't think it would shock any of us. I mean, I would be shocked almost if they went where we thought they should go, to be honest with you. If they pick inside linebacker or offensive line, I'd be like, holy crap, they actually did what we thought they should do? I would be stunned. Johnny?
Yeah, there's absolutely no way that they follow the position of need. They probably go best player available, and I'm about 50-50 on this. I think they're either going to draft a wide receiver like Eskridge or trade back. I'm hoping it's the latter, but we'll see.
Steve?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're trading back too, and I think they say. I don't think they go Eskridge. It's definitely possible, but I think if they stay, they're going to go offensive line. It just seems like the logical move if they stay at the spot. I know they threw that smoke screen, but you have some uncertainties in the middle off the line, especially at center. And, you know, your guards have been playing well, but we're not talking about perennial all-pros here at that position either. You could use the help there if you're going to stay at this pick. So, I don't know. What do you think? Who do you think? Do you think they stay?
I don't know. I know that's a cop-out, but I've learned a lot in the last couple of years from being wrong, that they never cease to amaze us. Like, last year, I thought it would be a year they would move around a lot, and they didn't. This year they had definitive needs, and they're going to have a couple of players there that will fill those needs. And yet, in the past, we've seen them trade when there are players there that would fill those needs. So I don't know. Like, I tend to think they'll move back if it's a few picks, but not like 20 picks. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If you're moving back to like 60 or 61, I can see them doing it. If not, I think they stay and take their guy.
Well, think about the 2019 draft. There, Eric McCoy was sitting there, and they traded back and then drafted him. He would have filled the big need. We wouldn't be talking about center right now if they made that pick. But they love taking more shots, and you know, more or less, it's been the right decision. But I kind of hope they make the pick. I would like to get a second rounder.
It's almost time for us to go. Wouldn't this be something if we actually tuned in for a podcast for the Rams pick and then they don't pick while we're on the air? That would just be
this podcast.
You say
well, if they don't make a pick and you're listening to this knowing that we did a whole podcast when they didn't make a pick, I love you. I love you. I really appreciate it. You are, I owe you a lot of gratitude.
Bananas, man. Bananas. So the Steelers take Pat Freiermuth from Penn State with the 55th pick in the draft. So Seattle and then the Rams. And, of course, we have a vested interest in watching who the Seattle Seahawks take. And if it's one of the guys we want, I'll be annoyed. Just saying, I'll be annoyed.
Only one guy. It's got to be Creed Humphrey. It's got to be.
I mean, they got a couple still there. I'd be cool with Jabril Cox. I mean, I know you want them to move down for that, but I don't think he'll be there much longer. So you kind of have to take him if that's your guy.
I don't care what pick. I'm gonna hate. If the Seahawks pick next, I'm going to hate whoever they pick. Doesn't matter who it is.
Well, they're going to be picking in less than 2 minutes now. Although on the NFL Network screen now says lost 2020 NFC wildcard to Rams. I love seeing that on the screen right now.
Beautiful.
That's amazing.
Absolutely beautiful. By the way, I want to throw this out there. I don't know if we've said it enough. I don't know how often you guys have talked about it on your show. But the Seahawks are 98-45-1 since 2012. That's what it was just on the NFL NFL Network graphic. They have been to the playoffs 9 out of 11 seasons. One Super Bowl to show for it. How do you evaluate the Seahawks as a franchise and under Pete Carroll's tutelage? Because part of me, given all the talent they've had, all the people who've worn that uniform, given the fact they've had one of the best quarterbacks in the league for much of that tenure, all that tenure really, I find it almost like they've underachieved. Seriously underachieved. Like they should have at least, you know, gone deeper in the playoffs. I mean, they have one Super Bowl win, but also gone deeper.
Let me put it to you this way. If what are we in year 5 of McVay?
Right? Yeah.
This will be his 5th year. Okay, so in 5 years, if I told you the Rams made the playoffs 9 out of whatever years, or I guess in 7 years, 9 out of 11 years under Sean McVay, they made the playoffs, and they won a Super Bowl, and they also played in another, and they had that insane win percentage. I'm okay with that. I think maybe they've underachieved a little, but they played in 2 Super Bowls. They won one. They keep getting to the playoffs, and they have shot themselves in the foot a lot with the way they've constructed that team because they haven't done too great of a job since they had those streaks of insane drafts where they got all those generational talents that built that team to win the Super Bowl. But it's hard to win a Super Bowl. It's hard to get to the Super Bowl. They made it twice. They won once, and they keep finding themselves in the playoffs. And if you're in the playoffs, you got a shot. And they could have done a little more, but I'm not going to sit here and say that they totally.
Well, they were one stupid play away from having 2 Super Bowls had they not thrown a goal line pass instead of handing the ball off to Marshawn Lynch. So they really should have 2 Super Bowls during that time.
Here's my point, though. Okay, and you're making valid counter-arguments to that. I'd say, but since that day, since that loss to New England, How many first-round exits have they made from the playoffs? They won the division last year by 2 games and lose to the Rams, their rival, at home in their first-round game. I would say that's also been a trend for them. They've barely made it even back to the NFC Championship. Have they even made it back to the NFC Championship game since that day?
No, they haven't.
I mean,
they played in the divisional round 3 times, though.
So. See, that's what I would say is underachieving because, you know, even before that Super Bowl run, they were one of the more stable franchises in the league. They had a couple down years where they rebuilt pretty quickly under Carroll, and they're back at it. And yet, look at all the Hall of Famers future Hall of Famers who've been on that roster during his tenure. And that's what I'm trying to say. They have the second best record in the NFL since 2012. And yet, here we are, looking at them picking now, right before the Rams, have been eliminated by the Rams. And at least the last few years, they have not been able to really seal the deal. They haven't looked like an NFL. Here we go. They have not looked like a power. Like, they have not looked like a consistent Super Bowl threat. They've looked like a team that's been a good team, but flawed. And it's been that way for a while. And when you've had one of the best quarterbacks in the league, a guy who's going to be a Hall of Famer, you would think they would have put more out there. Like, they would have performed better. I'm not trying to cheapen their accomplishments, by the way. I'm just saying,
they could have hired a better offensive coordinator for him than our guy Brian Schottenheimer, to say the least.
I can't believe he lasted as long as he did. Eskridge goes to the Seahawks. There you go.
Okay, so they did us a favor. That's an interesting pick.
It is an interesting pick. They have a solid receiving core.
Well, maybe they're trying to please Russell, and that's another weapon.
Well, please Russell, give him an offensive line.
Get him some offensive linemen.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong either.
Who did they take in the first round? Let me go back again. Hold on a minute. Stop the presses. First round. Who did they take?
They didn't pick in the first round,
I don't
believe.
So, they have no offensive line. They need an offensive line. Your quarterback's been sacked 40 times in the last 40 times per year minimum in the last 8 years straight. And you are going to get this guy protection, and you're going to go get a receiver when your receiving core is pretty well set? Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Rams are up, by the way.
To be fair, though, they did trade for Gabe Jackson, so that does help quite a bit.
I mean, it does, yeah. But they need more than Gabe Jackson. Sure. That offensive line was bad. It was bad.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they traded him, but they did.
Listen, if Eskridge pans out, obviously we don't know if he's gonna, but, you know, if he's the best version of what he can be, which, you know, is Tavon Austin, but good, like a Percy Harvin type player. Putting that next to DK Metcalf, it's terrifying. I don't want to see that. Like, what I hope happens to Eskridge is he has a horrible rookie year, gets traded, and then has a great career because I don't root against anybody. But I don't want it to happen in Seattle.
Less than 3 minutes
watching
now.
Watching the logo like I am, sitting here going, "Is it going to change? Is it going to change?"
No, I've committed to the fact that we're probably having that logo for like 3 years at least. That's kind of where I'm believing. Notice that Les Snead is not in the draft room because he's unfortunately COVID positive.
He didn't get to go to the beach house.
He didn't go to the beach house. Didn't get to go. See, well, I wish I could have been up there. So there's some Rams fans up there, man.
Yep. I'm not seeing any trade chatter yet.
No trade chatter yet?
Well, Rap hasn't shared anything. Shefty hasn't shared anything. We might be making this pick.
Let's do this, Creed Humphrey.
Sean McVay on the phone with somebody. On the phone with somebody.
Yeah, waiting. Is it another team or is it a player?
That's what I'm wondering.
This draft house is insane.
Oh my god, best. I want to live there, don't you?
It is beautiful. Yeah. I got the framed Goodell picture.
That's the one thing I want out of there. We're talking about. All right, folks, we've been on the air for an hour waiting for this pick. It's almost time for us to go, so I think it's fitting that the last pick we be on the air for tonight will be this. On Sunday, we'll have our full rest of the draft recap for we'll take tomorrow off. Let people enjoy their families. How's that sound, guys?
Yeah, hey, they're picking.
There we go.
Jordan Rodriguez tweeted they're keeping the pick.
Wow.
I don't know how to feel about that.
Wow. We'll see how we feel after the pick.
I mean, they have definitive needs.
Listen, it's never a bad thing to pick. I could have seen them trading back. Maybe I'll eat my words in a minute when they take another running back, but I don't think it's a bad decision to make a pick here. They have needs, and hopefully they address one.
Yeah, if it says running back, I think we'll all start cussing out.
I think that's literally the only position that they is not in play at all. I think everything else is on the table. Quarterback
is in.
Quarterback pick highly is in. Unlikely, but you never know. Maybe he Sean McVay loves Kyle Sloter or something.
Oh boy, has it been leaked on Twitter yet? That's the big question.
Let me check.
It's usually leaked there first, but
I think it did leak.
2-2 Atwell. That's what. Okay. Silas just posted. 2-2 Atwell. That's what Sosa posted. Wide receiver. is this real? Is he messing around?
Nah, this is.
He's gotta be joking. He's gotta be joking. Nah, Sosa said.
That's the pick.
Oh my gosh! And. If this Orlando Pace is up there probably thinking, what the heck? 2-2 Atwell is the pick from Louisiana. I didn't mean to call out receiver guys. I really didn't. I don't know what to say. He's 5'9", wow. 155. He's a 4.35. Well, I guess we understand why. That he's got serious speed. Serious speed. He's going to be a weapon, but last time they got a guy this small with serious speed, we know what happened. They couldn't use him then. I mean, and he opted out of the 2020 season after 9 games due to COVID. So, 2-time first team all ACC. I a little caught off guard, but like we said, we definitely nothing would surprise us at this point.
Sean McVay coached him about Austin briefly. We all kind of forget it. And he played him at running back. So it never struck me that he wanted this player. Now, that we do need a burner. We do need a deep threat. And, we signed a Sean Jackson. That's only going to be a one-year thing. So there are uses for a player like Tutu Atwell. And if we drafted him in the third round, I'd feel a lot better about it. But there are good players on the board at positions we really need, and this was not one of them.
Yeah, but they're in a...
I'm in shock, but I'm not in shock. this guy is known for the jet sweep and the short kind of screen running, screen passing plays. So, obviously he's going to fit into our offense well, but, yeah, I think we need another receiver like we need a hole in the head. So I'm not surprised, but I am a little shocked.
Man, I don't know. And just to point this out there, in the case that Chase Humphrey's gone, there's a certain center from Ohio State who's available a little bit later, too. He'll probably be there if they want him. Josh Myers. I'm just saying. And Trey Hill from Georgia, that's also later, but actually, you know, from Myers to Hill is a pretty big drop off of the rankings. So, I mean, the guy really was Creed Humphrey if they want him. So they must feel at least somewhat happy, right? With center, if they didn't go get a guy who's legit. Now, I mean, Humphrey would have been the guy. If you want a center, he's there.
Listen, we've done this before. We did it in 2019. We let John Sullivan go. We said, we don't need a center. It was a fucking disaster. And they lucked out with moving Austin Blythe to center and having it work for a little bit. It's just like, if one of these guys on the roster works out or they get a center in the third round, it's like, okay, then sure. You're right. But if they don't take a center in this draft and they go into the season with what they have and they decide they want to move Austin Corbett to center, the reason we got Austin Corbett on the team is because he sucks at center. So it's like, we've done this already. They gotta address this position in the third, I think.
But then where's the linebacker being addressed at, you know?
The difference is, and I think it carries weight coming from me, Mr. The Rams need to get an inside linebacker, is that they've proven they could win without an inside linebacker. And they've proven that they're a disaster without a good center or a playable center. In what we've seen under Sean McVay so far. Yeah, I think you do need to add a inside linebacker, but shoring up that center spot to me is a bigger need.
Nick Bolton, linebacker, goes to Kansas City.
Thanks, Norm. Did Nick Bolton go to the Chiefs, you said?
Yep, Nick Bolton. So he was a guy I mentioned earlier. He goes to the Chiefs. All right.
Well, I've got my future NFL tight end grandson here, so I need to get off here and go spend some time with my family.
Well, and with that, we'll all check out for the night, and we'll be staying up on Twitter, I'm sure, to update you on the Rams picks, and we'll give a full evaluation to finish this off again. Mr. Atwell, to do Atwell going to the Rams at 57, 5'9", 155. Basically, he's, at least in terms of size, Tavon Austin version 2. We know hopefully he's Tavon Austin the player version 2 in terms of production for the Rams, but we'll find out. All right, so for the entire team here at Rams Talk, we're out of here. Have a great one.